This program is brought to you by Jewel, sous vide by Chef Steps. Jewel takes the guesswork out of cooking. Learn more at chefsteps.com/joule.
Have you heard? It's party time. Monday, December 3rd is Winter in the Garden, Heritage Radio Network's second annual year-end gala at the Brooklyn Botanic Gardens Palm House and Yellow Magnolia Cafe. Join HRN staff, hosts, members, and some very talented chefs and bartenders for a delicious evening that will kick off the holiday season and support our end-of-year fundraising drive. The evening will begin with a VIP hour, complete with bubbles and oysters. Then, all of our guests will work their way around two spacious rooms filled with food stations and bars, sampling fare from some of our favorite chefs. Sip on your choice of cocktails, beer, wine, sake, and cider while bidding on exclusive silent auction items. 2019 is our 10th anniversary. So, whether you've been a member since Roberta's first opened, or if you just discovered your new favorite food podcast, please consider supporting us with a ticket purchase so we can start the year on solid ground. We'd love to see you at the Garden. So join us on December 3rd. For more information and to purchase tickets, go to heritageradionetwork.org/gala. Hello, and welcome to A Hungry Society, the show where we talk about food, food media, and so much more. Today's show is a little different. We're going to start with a previous guest that's been on the show before. We're going to talk about a very special project that she did that happened at the Beard House last night. Our guest is Alicia Kennedy. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me. I'm sorry that I don't have a voice for my second appearance.
Yeah, so last night at the Beard House, there was an incredible event. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes, me and my friend Caesar, we produced a Navidad Borinqueña dinner, and we conceived of it a couple of months ago as a way to bring attention to underappreciated, basically, Puerto Rican chefs. We had three women and one trans chef, who was the first trans chef to cook in the Beard House.
Wow.
That was Pax. And we had Natalia Vallejo, we had Maria Grubb, and we had Kelly Piro, all of whom have been very instrumental in the food scene in San Juan and in, the recovery from Hurricane Maria. Mm-hmm. So this dinner was, the timing made it perfect for Christmas, which Puerto Rican Christmas goes on for, months. So we kicked it off last night, and it was a way to bring attention to why people should visit Puerto Rico. It was to bring attention to these chefs, and it was to bring attention to, the fact that Puerto Rican, cuisine can occupy that kind of a space and still be fun, too.
Yeah, it was such an incredible event. You lost your voice. I am hungover. So it was very successful.
Yes. People were cheering. And I just was told by someone who attended that, she asked a friend who's been to Beard House dinners before. She was like, is it usually like that? It felt so fun. Everyone was clapping and yelling and no, it's not usually like that.
Yeah. I haven't been to a Beard House dinner that was that joyful. Everyone was clapping and cheering and just so happy for the chefs and so happy to be celebrating that event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a really kind of magical night. Mm. Not without its snafus, of course.
Yes. So we're going to talk to the chefs about a couple of those snafus. But thank you so much for being here and for starting off the show.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me, and I'm going to have a slice of pizza.
Excellent. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
This program is brought to you by Jewel Sous Vide. My name is Katie Mosman Wadler. I'm the executive director of HRN and a real-life Jewel user. When you cook with Jewel, there's zero guesswork, so steak, chicken, seafood, turkey, vegetables, and eggs all come out exactly the way you like them. The Parrot app is intuitive to use and preloaded with all the recipes you'll need, and it has a great visual doneness guide. Jewel is awesome for holiday cooking. It's easy to cook for a crowd, and it's perfectly precise, so you can focus on entertaining without worrying about checking food temps, while Jewel does all the work. You can try out new cuts fearlessly. One of the best things I ever made sous vide was a juicy, tender heritage goose with juniper berries, and it was life-changing. And pro tip, Jewel is small and packs easily, so you can sneak it along on your holiday travels to be this season's food hero everywhere you go. With Jewel, you get perfect food every time. To get yours, visit chefsteps.com/Jewel and use code HRN, as in Heritage Radio Network, to get $15 off for a limited time. That's chefsteps.com/JOULE, code HRN. And happy holidays from all of us at Team HRN.
So we are back celebrating Navidad, born in Kenya.
Born in Kenya.
Born in Kenya.
Yes, I will get that right by the end of the show. So we have the chefs that were actually at the Beard House last night. It's a huge treat and honor to have you in here today. So can you introduce yourselves? Maria, can you start?
Yes. So my name is Maria Mercedes Grubb. I have a restaurant in San Juan where I'm the executive chef, and it's called Gallo Negro in Santurce.
Hi, I'm Kelly Piero, and I'm the executive chef at My Pan Rai in Santurce, Puerto Rico.
Hi, my name is Pax Caraballo, and I'm the chef owner of Jungle Baba inside Jungle Bird Bar in Santurce.
Hi, my name is Natalia Vallejo. I collaborate with other chefs in Puerto Rico and create experience in, especially in agrotourism. And now I will open in January my new project called Cocina al Fondo in Santurce.
Yes, it's opening in a month or so, correct? When is it opening?
Cuando abre?
In January, and it's in the space called Publica. It's a cultural space, and in the back is the kitchen called Cocina al Fondo.
Excellent. So you're on the other side of this Beard House dinner. How do you feel?
Alive.
You made it out alive. Uh-huh.
Many feelings and mixed feeling, but so happy and
too tired to think.
Yeah.
Hungry.
When I was talking to Alicia to start this, she mentioned there were a couple snafus, including I don't even know what to call it. It was like a fireball that happened in the kitchen at the Beard House last night. I've never seen anything like it. I had the Beard House has the kitchen and on the like bottom floor, and you walk past the kitchen to get to the like courtyard area where you have drinks and then move upstairs for dinner. And as I was walking through the kitchen, like I had just passed all of you working very hard, I just heard woof.
Yes.
This huge flame went up on the ceiling. It was a memorable start to the dinner.
Imagine feeling it though.
Yes.
Yeah, I was kind of like near fire and.
Yeah, I'm really glad everyone was safe and okay.
Yeah.
But that is quite a memorable start
to
a Christmas dinner.
No one will ever forget that dinner.
Yes, it's unforgettable.
Yeah.
So how did you come up with the menu last night? Who wants to take that?
So basically, Alicia came up to us and she told us that James Beard was interested in bringing us over. The theme would be a Puerto Rican Christmas. We know each other. We also were introduced to Natalia, like along those plans, and we one day just sat down and had lunch, and we literally came up with a menu just based on Puerto Rican staples, Puerto Rican classics, things that you grew up with, things that you're familiar with, things that remind you of your childhood, things that remind you of family time, and local things that represent our culture. So that was that.
Yeah, there was a lot of seafood on the menu,
In addition to pork belly, which was amazing. In Puerto Rico, like, do you have more seafood at Christmas time, or is it more like pork heavy?
It's usually more pork heavy, so that's why we try
to porky skin.
Make things different this time.
Yeah, and that's why the pork belly, I think, that connect with that meat, that the tradition is very fatty, and the pork is very present in the Christmas. So the pork belly was the final and the big dish to remember that.
Yeah, Chef Kelly killed that pork belly.
Yeah. The pork belly was perfect.
Yeah, the non-Puerto Rican made the pork belly.
So what is the for listeners who aren't familiar with Christmas time in Puerto Rico, like, what is the atmosphere like? What's the feeling like on the island around this time?
Oh, I think it's so festive. I just think that it's such a, like, time for family and friends and celebrations. It seems like a lot of people come back to Puerto Rico to, like, celebrate and, you know, visit. Maybe they're only there once a year, but, like, definitely it's holiday times. And it's crazy because Puerto Rican Christmas lasts for like 3 or 4 months, so it's like
it's the longest. Right after Thanksgiving
and goes into the new year
So like January 8th,
so like Three Kings ish. Day.
Okay,
wow. No, then you have Santa.
Then you have Santa. Oh, exactly.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So,
and then you have Candelaria.
Yeah, pretty much.
And also, it's a beautiful connection with the diaspora that returns and celebrate, and everybody is in the bars, in the chinchorros, and connecting with the food, with the roots, with the family. I live that with my brother that lives in New York, and for me, Christmas is that he come back, and we cook, we going with the mountain, the pork, the frituras, the ron, pitorro.
Yay. And more work in the kitchen, for sure. Yeah. Longer hours.
Yeah, exactly. Sure, definitely. Like,
boozy after hours shifts.
So, yeah, the menu last night, you know, you're talking about the diaspora. I think Puerto Rican cuisine is so fascinating because it is like this mix of all of these different, like, cultures coming together, including like a very strong, like, indigenous culture.
Yeah.
Can you guys talk about that and how you combine those influences into the menu last night?
I think the cazuela was the
homage.
Represent the ancestors of the coast, Loíza. And then the pork in the traditional and in the mountain, maybe, or but the menu have a balance. I was talking about that with Pax.
For me, it felt like a
beach and the mountain,
like a Christmas at the beachside.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Just like really chill. We resurrected that dessert, which it's been getting done in Loíza for like over 3 generations by this lady called Lula, so we wanted to showcase it.
Yeah, can you explain to listeners the dessert that you served last night?
It's a homage for Lula's. Mm-hmm. Lula is a African indigenous. I see that. Mm-hmm. And she cooked in the La Leña, and he preserved so many recipes that we are not familiar, and we want to do a homage for her, maybe with that dessert that have pumpkin, batata, some spices, and they cook in the fire with plantain leaves. Mm-hmm. So we adapt that recipe and change the texture, but in the essence, it was the
delicious. It took me to, my family's from the Virgin Islands, and it took me there, like the warm spices and the pumpkin.
Caribbean Christmas.
So speaking of that, like, what are you drinking during the Christmas season? Like, what are some of the, like, traditional drinks?
Ay, pitorro.
Pitorro, for sure.
Poquito.
Arrilito.
Yeah. Don Q.
Don Q.
Yes, shout out to Don Q. It helped out a lot last night.
And I think the coconut milk, como, like, returns to our day by day, because the pitorro, the coquito, and the coconut milk is very present, and in the desserts also.
Maria, can you talk about coquito for people who aren't familiar with that?
It's I would say it's like an eggnog.
Yeah.
It comes around the same time. It comes around Thanksgiving. You sit at the tables. When you sit down with your family for the first time, somebody shows up. There's always an uncle or a cousin that comes up with a different bottle of it, and everybody like samples them. But basically, it's coconut milk, some rum, a little bit of like clove, nutmeg, cinnamon. It's eggless, so I think it's even better because it lasts longer.
It's eggless.
Yeah, it's eggless.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but it's pretty much the same thing, but without the eggs. And better because rum. But it has the same emotion that people here in the States get towards eggnog. To us, it represents literally the same thing. It's like holidays are here. Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
So talk to me about the dining scene in San Juan. I think Puerto Rico is one of the most like interesting places to eat in the Caribbean. Can you talk about... How would you describe the restaurant scene there now?
I think it's even better now after the hurricane because everyone has come together. And right now for me, I'm trying to visit more places that are owned by my friends and just be there to support them and eat at their places, take pictures of what I'm eating there, tagging them, and just so everyone can just keep coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about supporting each other.
It's a community.
It's a super cool community. It's funny, the other day, like, another restaurant was like, I'm out of trash bags, or I call Kelly sometimes, like, hey, can you pick me up some fry oil? Like, and you have that sense of, like, sharing, and plus we, like, pass
it. Yeah, we're in the same street.
Yeah. Or one day I'll be, Natalia comes in and she has lunch, you know, and it's like, and we keep that going, and I think that sense of community is what's keeping us a whole right now because, let's face it, tourism isn't really there yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, we need to be there to support each other.
Yeah.
The season's been a little slow. That's kind of an understatement. But definitely, you know, supporting, like, our local establishments. And, I mean, there's so many good restaurants, you know. I wish I had more time, frankly. And there's been, like, just a rash of restaurants and bars opening también, so...
Yeah.
It's hard to keep up, actually, I think.
But good things are happening, and we're proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Food is trending, I mean, so... And you see it in, like Kelly said, how many restaurants have been opening recently.
Yeah, people are driven. Like, they want to create something really good. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think... customers also are, you know, I think the dining culture is like subiendo también, like it's people who are dining out are wanting something different and better quality, and they're really into, you know,
they're learning.
Eating local and supporting farmers and local agriculture, so
also more
it's
curious.
Like
there's a lot of, when I left Puerto Rico, it was rice and beans, you know, maybe a sushi place here, a sushi place there, and there wasn't, like, a lot of, like, international stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I feel like what I've been seeing a lot is, like, Kelly, for example, has what I think is the best Thai restaurant in the metropolitan area, and I don't think that would have succeeded maybe 10 years ago because people weren't as curious towards Thai food. Now people are like, oh, I've been to Thailand, I want to eat that food, or I lived in the States and I used to eat Thai food all the time, or when PAX opened with the bao buns, like, people are like, first they're like, what's a bao bun, but, oh my God, I've had that before, or I want to have it, or I'm also seeing how people are going back to their roots, like Natalia, like, you know, like, let's go back and rediscover where we came from, and you see that, like you were saying last night, across the world, like, I have friends that are going back to cooking the Korean food, but I work with them at a French restaurant. Mm-hmm. You know, like how everybody's just like going back to, well, what am I? You know,
where did we come from?
And that you see that expression in restaurants in Puerto Rico, and that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was gonna ask how you've seen the food, and you know, like you've seen the restaurant scene change so much. How have you seen Puerto Rico's cuisine and food change in the last 10 or so years?
It has. I remember when I started, everything like toda la compra que venía would be imported stuff, and now we can get stuff from our farmers, mm-hmm. like actual conscious farmers. So that was something that you could never see that, like, I don't know, like more than 15 years ago. So I really appreciate that. Like, I like to get produce from my people. Mm-hmm. And it feels really good.
And that is connected with our politics, our situation of the colonialism. So maybe when you connect with the produce and the farmers, you connect also with your country, and it's political. It's like, it's happened. O sea, nosotros tenemos que apoyarnos y seguir conectando con todo eso que se nos arrebató de las manos. La Puerto Rico produce mucho y tenemos que tenerlo en conciencia y apoyar eso y que siga creciendo, porque eso va a hacer que la cocina crezca a unos niveles increíbles. Estamos empezando.
You're like, what?
I am. It sounded great. I heard cocina. I know what that is.
She was talking about how everybody's connecting and how we have to support each other. And I also think that kind of creates an ecosystem for the island. And because of our political situation, I mean, we have the Jones Act, so it's like, unfortunately, we still import 90% of our food. But there's this 10% of farmers that are like giving it their all. Yeah. And we're interested in getting that 10% into our restaurants. And that's an unfortunate situation, again, because of the whole colony situation. And it just forces you to spend more money on food, and it just complicates things. But when we do these little things, even if it's just with the 10%, then we're just kind of like creating that word that we've been hearing a lot, like sustainable environment.
You're putting back into the island.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We want to order every week from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that it's eventually no longer just 10%.
Exactly.
So that eventually it can be that, you know, we only use 10% of imported stuff in restaurants, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a shame because, for example, like, next door we had Dominican Republic, it's the total opposite. Mm. They produce 90% of their stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it's a shame because we have the same land, mm-hmm. the same beauty, like the same ability, and pretty much the same Caribe people. And it's, but we have a little bit of an extra, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like pushing you down, but people are still pushing up, which is cool.
Yeah, and that's our mission, like with being chef, that we have that responsibility.
Yeah.
With that.
Do you think that that's the future of Puerto Rican cuisine as well? Is more coming from the land and...
Yeah, conscious farmers and conscious chefs are getting together all the time.
And they are more organized than a few years ago. So it's happening. And
Slowly but surely, mm-hmm. it's happening. It's not the same like 5 years ago.
Exactly.
No.
It's a good thing.
And it's five farm markets around the island. So it helps a lot because the people is seeing that every week, that there's so much people doing great job with the land. So many projects that so amazing. So it's good.
It's
good. So I'm doing my best with my English.
That's okay. So I can't remember who said it last night, but I think one of you said, you know, when you come to the island, you know, see San Juan, hang out in San Juan, but also check out other parts. Yes, mm-hmm. That was you, Natalia. I want to hear from each of you some like other areas of the island that listeners should check out and, you know, look into visiting when they go to the island next.
I collaborate a lot with a project in Calle, and this is the mountain that called El Pretexto. It's a guest house, and we do a lot of pop-ups, and they call Culinary Farm Lodge, and we do every month an event and invite one of the chef that I think is doing a great job and connect with the farm and the ingredients and create the menu about that. But that's the ingredients, so what that are. And then there's a lot of chinchorro that I like a lot. My girlfriend have a place that is amazing called Teta La Cocina in Calle also, and it's amazing. It's a place to visit because it's the feeling of warming and the feeling like in el campo, and it's a special and many places to go, and it's doing great job in the mountain. And San Juan is good, but it's a lot of things in all around the island.
Mm-hmm. I'm from the West Coast. I come from a city called Maya West, which is actually a college town. It has the other University of Puerto Rico. It's a really dope city. You should check it out. Many good things are happening there. Also, like, I used to skate all over the West Coast in Aguadilla, Rincón, Isabela. Very lovely towns, beach towns. Awesome people in there. Many projects popping up. Aguadilla has actually a food truck park. There are many, many good chefs in the West Coast area of Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest that y'all should hit that. Mm-hmm. It's very, very good.
Yeah. Well, it's not too far from, like where we are, San Terce. But I really like Piñones and like Loisa. I feel like there's a lot of like tradition and culture there. And I like it that it's so close. And it's like my little hidden gem that if I don't have a lot of time to like go, you know, out to like Orocovis or something like that, that I can just, it's like 15 minutes in my car and I can just be right in a chinchorro with some like damas like frying some alcapurrias, and you get that flavor and that feeling that's just like so, you know, Boricua.
And you spend less than $10.
Yeah, exactly.
And is that and on, that's on the eastern part?
It's literally 15 minutes away. Tucked behind the airport. Like it's, you know, it's like, it's curiously.
It's beautiful.
It really is. Yeah. Or like, like I said, Orocovis is awesome. I think that's where some of the like
it's
best.
The center of the island.
We got our morcilla from Orocovis.
Yeah. Morcilla, ooh.
The one you had last
time. Yeah, longanisa for sure. Oh my god, it's so good. And Rincón, of course.
Yeah, Rincón is fun.
Yeah.
We've done a few pop-ups in Rincón together. Uh-huh. We have like a little side project, Kelly and I, called K-Pop. And we've done, we just do random things where we just cook a bunch of Korean food.
Wherever people will have us.
Yeah, exactly. And we always, whenever like, if we have this hotel we worked with a few times called Tres Sirenas, which is so gorgeous. And they suffer a lot after the hurricane. They have to shut down for a minute. They just basically just reopened a few months ago. And it's like another thing, like it's not just the restaurants, the hotels went through it too. And like she said, Rincón is like my favorite town outside of San Juan.
That's true.
But I also, there's also like outside of Puerto Rico, there's Vieques and Culebra. Mm-hmm. Like right now I'm talking with a possible boutique hotel that I might be collaborating with in Vieques, which is like, it's just another cool area and another cool thing that you could do in Puerto Rico. You just don't, like she said, you don't even have to stay in the island. You can hop up to Vieques, who also suffer a lot of the hurricane devastation. So we all need the help, but the entire island needs it. So it's cool to know what's outside of San Juan.
Yeah, nice. And many farmers open their farm and you can visit them and see what they doing. Like Siembra Tres Vidas, Frutos del Guacao. Uh-huh. and you can in Manatí and many others that I don't remember right now, but there's another form to visit the island and connect with the people.
Wonderful. That's great. I have like a list of places I need to check out now. Yeah. And I go back. Definitely need a car.
Yes.
So my last question for each of you, whenever I have a guest on the show, I ask them what their last meal would be and if it'd be in a particular restaurant. So for each of you, your last meal on Earth, what would it be and where would you eat it?
Oh, that's heavy.
I can go simple. I used to cook a lot with my grandmother. She passed away, and I think I was still like 2005, 2006. And we used to do a lot of fish, and we used to do guineito verde with this sauce that she would do with tomato paste and extra virgin olive oil and a little bit of salt. So I would eat lo guineito with that little sauce and just in a table with my grandma.
Is that a type of fish?
No, guineito, like green bananas, boiled green bananas, okay. With olive oil and tomato paste and a little bit of salt, and with my sitting with my grandma. Excellent. That would be my last meal, probably. Wow. Just simple, super chill.
Yum.
And Maria?
So last night my mom made like the pastele and the capurria dough. And she's a fantastic cook, so it definitely has to be something cooked by my mom. Mm-hmm. I'm a third generation cook, so she has it down. And she makes a really good like pollo guisado, which is like a chicken fricassee. Mm. With like, and then she does pigeon peas with like coconut water on it, and just like rice and avocado. That would be my last meal, for sure.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm so hungry.
Well, I love a lot the rice. I'm a rice person, so maybe rice and beans, good beans, local beans with pumpkins and like a stew of beans and white rice and chicken in the oven. I love that. And with my family in the house of my mother and my father, I think that makes me so happy.
Well, geez. Korean barbecue is my jam through and through. I'm really into like all the banchan and, you know, just like some nice galbi. Mm-hmm. And maybe like a little side of like jjigae or like a little stew or something. And for Koreans, dining is like really social, you know. So, yeah, like get six of my best friends and family and, you know.
Yeah.
Celebrate life by eating something delicious.
That's a good way to go, yeah. Just like a ton of barbecue, Korean barbecue.
Yeah,
yeah.
Open my pickles.
Yeah. Nice. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
And congratulations on a fantastic dinner last night.
Thank you.
Everyone was so happy. And
awesome.
Just so excited to be there. And listeners, please check out all of their restaurants and please check out Puerto Rico. It's beautiful and, you know, waiting for you to visit.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for listening. We'll catch you next week on The Hungry Society.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.